Happy May Day, the first in the year of our Lord 2015. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. And one third of the year is over. Time to start buying Christmas gifts. This is time that goes by so fast. But we're sure enjoying it, particularly here on KFUO. We want to start off with just alerting you to what's on our website. Our website is lawandgospel101.com. Lawandgospel101.com. And by the way, today being Open Mic Friday, you can call me. Let me give you the numbers because you can start phoning in right now and we'll address any questions of a theological nature, hopefully. In the St. Louis area, 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. Now, as soon as you go to lawandgospel101.com, the number one item on the page is to join the LNG101 email list for freebies and info. All you need to do is put your name and email address there, hit submit, and then you will be getting another email making sure you are the proper person so somebody else doesn't put in your email address and become spam. And we'll kind of watch that. And you get a theological analysis of Heaven is for Real. That's that book written by that young boy who said he went to heaven. And, of course, a number of them are saying, no, what they said was not true. But we have a theological analysis of that. And the reason I'm encouraging you to sign up for the LNG 101 email list is we're putting out some more free items this weekend. So if your name appears there, you'll be getting those free items. The number two is we have a membership site. Would you like to get either a book or a video or something of that nature every week? It goes right to your computer. And all you do is you sign up, you put in your codes, and it's $10 a month. And we're encouraging more people to do that. For $10 a month, you get four items that you can also use in your Bible studies at home. And all you need to do is kind of take a look at the membership levels, and you'll see we have over 80 items there right now. And by the way, anybody who joins during the month of May, we're not just going to give you 1 week. We're going to give you 2 months. That's eight items for $10. And then automatically the next month or the week after that, you'll start getting the next items. And each month they take $10 out. We also have products. And all you do is you hit the term products. And of course, as you know, Law and Gospel pays KFUO to be on the air, and so we certainly appreciate any donations toward that. And we'll start asking you to do that. At the bottom of the page, there's a donate button. Okay, so that takes care of the housekeeping duties. We'll be back on Monday, of course. Again, taking a look at a Bible passage. We're looking at the book of Acts, because during the Easter season, the Old Testament is replaced by the book of Acts. And we're taking a look at a reading that says that those who are acceptable to God are those who fear him and do what is right. Boy, am I in trouble or not? Well, that'll be Monday's broadcast. Right now, if you have any thoughts, we had some items both on Baltimore from a Lutheran perspective. And by the way, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has put out a document about the situation in Baltimore. And we encourage you, you go to lcms.org and then just type in the question place Baltimore and it should come up. And we also were talking about how gay marriage, some people think it's going to be successful because a lot of people are already married who are gay, and therefore, what's the Supreme Court going to do? Say no to that? Well, we certainly hope they do, because it will be a catastrophe, much like abortion was. And, well, we'll see about that. One of the items I want to talk about is continuing our discussion that a lot of times if a politician believes that a person is basically good, then they will be thinking about, well, if they're going to be kind of criminal, let them blow off their steam, don't make the situation worse, this sort of thing. And we actually did talk about that at our Bible study at Emmanuel Lutheran, Olivet, 9733 Olive. And by the way, tomorrow they have their picnic. It's Saturday between 12 and 4. I hope to be a volunteer there. Years ago, we would borrow from Emmanuel their dunking booth. Fortunately, that dunking booth broke and they don't have it anymore, so I won't be sitting in a dunking booth, but I hope to be there helping out at 9733 Olive Boulevard. That's on in Olivet on Olive Road, just east of Lindbergh, about less than a mile. So it's on the left. You go by one church, then the next church is Emmanuel Olivet. Well, at our Bible study, we were taking a look at the Heidelberg Disputation. And remember the point I was making is that men are basically evil. Evil from conception because of original sin. These are not innocent babies, but they need the salvation of Jesus Christ just like everybody else. And so thesis 5 and thesis 6, the works of men are thus not mortal sins, and we're speaking of works that are apparently good, as though they were crimes. And then it says the works of God, we speak of those that he does through men, are thus not merits, as though they were sinless. So, when we talk about human beings doing mortal sins, we're not talking about only things that are criminal. No, a good work is a mortal sin if it's done for the wrong motivation. And since unbelievers don't believe in Jesus Christ, they can never do anything but mortal sins as good works. How do we understand that? Very simple. God looks at the motivation, we said. And therefore, a mortal sin is that good work done out of self-interest. Remember, the Bible talks about or against self-righteousness. The Pharisees, thank God I'm not like that other man over there, that tax collector, because I tithe, I do this, I do that. So we're trying to explain that what the Heidelberg Disputation is talking about, which Martin Luther wrote in 1518, is not talking about sins, mortal sins, as though they were criminals. He's talking about good works. Every good work that even a Christian does can be considered as a mortal sin in light of the fact that the old Adam never has the right motivation in doing it. So human works, many of them appear to be good. For example, an atheist may give money to a hospital in order that they might do a different wing. But that's a deadly sin. Not because he's a criminal when he does that, but he has motivation out of self-interest. And God marks works on the basis of motivation. So, of course, there are some criminal acts. You rob a bank. That's obviously a sin. But even giving money to a hospital can be a mortal sin in the sense of winning your way to salvation. No, it never does it. But does God reward even an atheist for doing what we appear to be seeing good works here on earth? Yes, he does. Yes, an atheist pays his taxes. An atheist may keep under the speed limit. He's rewarded by not getting fined, not being arrested, and so forth. Now, why are they called mortal or deadly sins? Because one of the metaphors that the Bible uses, I'm the vine, you're the branches, without me you can do nothing. If the branch is attached to Jesus, the vine, then that mortal sin becomes a venial sin in two ways. Number one, the sinful part of the good work is repented of and therefore is forgiven. Number two, the Holy Spirit, through the new man in you, the Holy Spirit or Jesus, guess what? Good works, or called fruit of the Holy Spirit, occur. So what makes a sin mortal or deadly is not that it's a flagrant violation of the law, but actually that which separates and seals us off from God. See, that's what the Pharisee was doing, thanking God he was not like other men who he considered to be sinners, because what did he do? He was following the ceremonial laws and therefore was giving no credit to God for salvation. If you want to talk about this or any other theological subject, now's the time to do it before our time runs out. 821-0850. That's in the St. Louis area. 1-800-730-2727. Now, why do our good works seal us off from God? Why? Because, and boy, you hear this again and again, at a funeral of somebody who has died, of course, well, we know he's saved because he was such a good man. You see, we use our good works as a defense against needing the gift of grace. Well, what's grace? Grace is giving you that which you do not deserve. Well, I don't really need that much grace because I'm not that bad a person. And so we use our good works. Look at God. I take care of my family. I'm honest at work. I'm a man of integrity. I don't really need your gift of grace to save me. Oh, how sad that that occurs. Because we are now using our good works as a defense against needing God's help. And that is sad. Very sad. Okay. Numbers here are 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Mark. Mark, you're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
I have a question about the controversial Supreme Court case being taken up about homosexuality and...
gay marriage.
Yes, and I know that you often say that we're not a Christian country, or words to that effect, and that, you know, we shouldn't be necessarily praying in school and teaching religion in the public schools. But can you comment on what you think the court should do in this situation?
Well, what the court should do is say that gay marriage is not appropriate, not only because it just goes against the biology of a human being. They don't even need to use the Bible. It's kind of like abortion. You can be an atheist and be against abortion because biologically they are now giving more and more evidence that it is a real human being within the womb. And in fact, women who want to have an abortion and have an ultrasound, 95% of them change their mind when they see the ultrasound because they were unaware how human that person is in their womb. And so you can argue against gay marriage just on a biological level, but it will also just be a real destroyer of the family. But from a Christian point of view, of course, God is... considers gay marriage or homosexuality as an abomination. So we would hope that would happen. What might happen, and this would still be a little helpful, is that the Supreme Court will allow the states to make their decision. Each state can make their own decision, like they're doing with abortion. There are a number of states now that have passed laws that if the child in the womb is over a certain age, you're no longer allowed to abort it. And so we're working in those areas, and a lot of people are involved. I think the same thing can happen with gay marriage. But if they okay gay marriage, the one thing I found very interesting, and maybe this will help stop it, the attorneys for the president were asked the question, Mark, as to whether or not a pastor would have to do a marriage. And if they refused to do so, the attorney said they could lose their tax-exempt status. Now, You're, I'm sure, a member of a Christian congregation, and you know that we pastors can refuse to do marriages even of two of our members. We have that right to do that. For example, I had a situation where a woman was pregnant out of wedlock, and the two of them came in, and both sets of parents wanted them to marry. And I asked the woman, do you want to get married? Yes. Do you love him? Yes. Then I asked him, do you want to get married? He said, yeah, I guess I have to because I got her pregnant. Do you love her? Well, not really. I've got another girlfriend. Well, I wouldn't do that marriage.
Yeah.
So we have the right to refuse marriages on the grounds of our religious principles. And, of course, a gay marriage would be one of them. So I am not a good fortune teller. I don't know what God's going to permit to happen here. But even in the worst case scenario, the church should still stay strong.
Well, even if they pass this, wouldn't that open the floodgates to all kinds of marital varieties?
Yes. Glenn Beck, of course, is a Mormon, and he used the same principles to show that polygamy would have to be okayed.
Yeah.
The same kind of moral argument. So there's a lot of arguments against this, as you just pointed out, Mark, very well. But we just don't know what the Supreme Court's going to do. There's that swing vote Kennedy. And one of the things he did say, he says, why would we overturn a millennial of practice that marriage is between a man and a woman? So, good point.
Should we offer this in our churches as a prayer?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes. We should pray that the Supreme Court be given wisdom to make sure that this is not adopted. And I sure appreciate your call, Mark.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right, and we're just going to go down the line here. Let's go speak with, is this Joe? Joe, you're on the air.
No, this is Al.
Al. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yes.
Now, you want to go to Joe or you want to talk to me?
No, you're easier.
All right, we've got a Wednesday night Bible study, and the question came up, what about those that have never had the chance to hear of Christ and they die? I mean, it's a question that's been asked over and over. And Tom, what I did was I went to Romans, I think the first chapter of Romans, and I looked, starting with 18 to verses 25, where it talks about, you know, no one has an excuse.
Right.
Okay. The explanation that we walked through with that was that section explains how God is present to all man in nature. In itself, since creation, and the fact that law has been on man's heart ever since creation.
Yes, creation shows that there's a personal God, and what do? They create, they don't even worship real animals. They create an animal like, that calf that they created in the Sinai Desert, and then begin to worship it. So it shows how far they have fallen from what should be obvious to them, that there is a personal creator God.
And then the question came up, well, that has nothing to do with Christ. They didn't even get a chance to hear about Christ. And my statement to them was, if you do not acknowledge God, you do not acknowledge Christ or the Holy Spirit, because they are all as one God.
Yes. People just think that that's unfair of God, that he's going to send people to hell who never even had the opportunity. But they are under a delusion. Anyone who says that assumes that it is on the basis of our freedom of will to choose for Christ. And if we never hear of him, then we don't get the chance to choose.
Right.
But the doctrine that I would point out is the doctrine of the elect. That if they're part of the elect, they're going to be saved. And if they're not part of the elect, they're not saved. So this is a very clear teaching in the scripture, and I've always said there's going to be three surprises when you get to heaven, Al. Number one, people you thought were going to be there aren't there. Number two, people you never thought were going to be there are there. And, of course, the biggest surprise is that you're there.
I'm there.
Yes. So this is an area where God simply doesn't give us enough revelation. We know about 1/1,000th of a percent about God, and that's the entire Bible. And so here's how I always end that kind of a conversation. When you get to heaven and see the decisions God has made, you will not be bothered by them, and you will still be in bliss.
There we go.
Because you're going to have his mind. Okay?
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you so very much for calling. And if Joe wants to phone back, I see that Joe hung up during this. We've just got a few minutes left. Anybody else can call. What are the numbers? In the St. Louis area, 821-0850. That's if you have an area code 314. But you can all call the long-distance number for North America, toll-free, 1-800-730-2727. You see, the point I'm trying to make here is that unbelievers will use their good works as a defense against the gift of grace. I don't need God's grace. The trouble is, no matter how good a human work is, if it's done apart from Christ, it's deadly because it kind of tempts us away from naked trust in the mercy of God to a trust in self. Just ask people who think they're going to be saved but don't believe in Jesus. Why? Well, I'm not that bad a person. Well, look at the things I do. So deadly sin can be detected when, particularly when somebody talks about the cheapness of grace. Oh, somebody once called me and said, boy, you Lutherans make it too easy that somebody can be saved by grace without any merit or worthiness in them. And I said, well, ask Jesus how easy it was. That's ridiculous. There are some who say, boy, if you Lutherans keep talking this way, it's going to readily lead to moral laxity or permissiveness. Now, sometimes these are parents who are talking like this. So I always look at them and say, oh, so you don't give your children food to eat or a bed to sleep in or clothes unless they earn it or merit it? Oh, no. I give them free. Well, wait a minute. If you're going to give them all that free stuff, they're going to be lying in bed and say, hey, I get free food, I get free clothes, I got a free bed. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go outside and puncture all my parents' tires on their cars. Who thinks like that? In other words, somebody who says that the doctrine of grace leads to moral laxity have children that they practice the doctrine of grace, giving a child what they haven't earned. That's what grace means. That you don't really deserve it. I mean, what does a baby do to deserve being fed? Nothing except cry all night. Oh. So we must be very careful as to even how we regard the works of God in us, because deadly sin can lurk in the most pious of places. A Christian who goes to church on Sunday because of his love for Jesus, that's wonderful. But he better be careful that he doesn't say, well, I deserve heaven now because look at, I'm going to church on Sundays. You see, the old Adam is coming to church too. And he's always doing it out of self-interest. Maybe to make yourself feel good. Maybe to meet somebody. Maybe some business opportunities. Maybe to keep peace in the family. Maybe, and the list goes on and on and on. The old Adam never goes to church with the right motivation. And that's why even going to church, you don't want to brag to God and offer that as a way of meriting your way to heaven. It's not that the works of God that he does within you are not accounted as eternal merits, but they're not accounted as eternal merits because they are without sin. No, they're accounted as eternal merits because they are the spontaneous product of believing in Jesus Christ. But notice what has to come first. Faith has to come first. So we believe, teach, and confess that a person, it's impossible to do a good work, a fruit of the Holy Spirit, apart from Jesus. And every good work we do has sin in it. Oh, you want a Bible verse? Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. In other words, the righteous Christian, from God's point of view, is at the same time not only 100% sinless, but 100% sinful. Therefore, every Christian looks to the cross of Jesus Christ and not to ourselves. And even in regard to those works that God does within us. So I hope that's helpful. I appreciate those who called today, Mark and Al. And on Monday, as I said, we're going to be taking a look at a verse. Boy, you're not saved if you don't do good and fear God. Doesn't sound like Christianity, does it? So we're going to take a deeper look into the insights of what that is all about. And please go to lawandgospel101.com and at least sign up for the free email. You'll get some free items. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.